Saturday, and welcome once again to another Advanced Living Radio program. This is Kenneth Lesser, your host. So grateful to be with you, and just get ready for more fun. We're going to do part two. If you tuned in last week or go into the archives, you can hear part one with our wonderful guest, author Paul McCormick, and we're going to take it further today. The essence that we're going for is to find the secrets of financial success and spiritual happiness all at once. We're getting him, and this is part two, rebuilding your inner world to blossom your entire life. So, folks, if you hadn't tuned in last week, let me give you a little bit about our wonderful guest, Paul McCormick, who is the author of the books Secrets of the Miracle Inside, has led a phenomenal life. There were problems early in life, but he turned that into finding success. It's huge, enormous success. He started with nothing. By the age of 27, became the owner of a multi-million-dollar company. At age 29, he was the CEO. And for the next 10 years, he helped entrepreneurs develop and grow wealth, and at the same time coached over 100 of his own employees how to achieve success. I mean, this is great. Well, even with all that financial success, there was still more. We know money can't buy happiness. You can pay your bills, but there's more. And he was not emotionally and spiritually happy. He had pain there. And so he learned how to harness the power of the three principles to bring success to all areas of his life. And now, after 17 years of the success in the business, he walked away from his multi-million-dollar career, and he's now a writer, author, and speaker, and basically a major, major trainer about how you can find peace, happiness, good health, and financial prosperity. The website that we gave out last week, that's a wonderful site to visit, is www.thesecretinside.com. And just some goodies there await you. We'll get to that soon. Right now, I want to welcome our wonderful guest back, Paul McCormick. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Ken, and thanks for having me on the air again. It was a joy to be with you last week, and I'm excited to be back again this week.
Oh, well, thank you. Me too. It was great when one of the things that I want to make sure is to get information in front of people about how they can call in, because we're going to check in with folks that may have some pain, some discomfort. We talked about different things that can come up when a person is dealing with money. They might be excited about it. They might be scared. They might not believe that it's really available for them, or they may just be turned off or repulsed by the whole idea of money. And we know that there's ways to deal with all of that. So for our listeners out there, we welcome your calls, toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227. If you're part of our friends up in Canada, 888-815-9756. And if you're out of those areas and wish to call in, please use 530-876-3222. Now, Paul, anything that you'd like to share in the way of a recap from last week?
Well, yeah, we were talking last week, and we're going to continue the conversation today as a part two, really, series, as an ongoing conversation to what we were speaking about last week. And that is the question, can you be spiritual and still love money? And I'm using that powerful language even to say, can you love money? Because, of course, that sets up the dichotomy of the two themes between spirituality and money. And so many people think that you cannot have both. And I'm here to suggest that you can have both, and that, in fact, you should. You should be able to be emotionally and spiritually aligned the way that you should be, so that you're happy and have peace in your life. And at the same time, you should be able to be financially prospering. And I go so far to be as bold to say that if you want more money in your life and you don't have it like you want, that something spiritually or emotionally is not aligned properly. And so, yes, that's a bold statement, and if it shakes you up a bit, that's okay. Call and let's talk about it, because what I'm suggesting is we're talking a whole lot more than just about money. We're really talking about the emotional aspects to ourselves. And in my experience in dealing with hundreds of individuals that I've worked with, when we don't have the money flowing in our lives, it's because of the emotional baggage that we carry, the thoughts that we have about money, and that same exact emotional baggage is the baggage that keeps us sometimes from being happy, from having peace in our life, from having the relationships we want in our life. So it all goes together. And so that's why I say when you're emotionally and spiritually aligned the way that you should be, you should have all the prosperous aspects of your life, including money. So that's what we're speaking about, and if you have an opinion about that today, either if you agree with that statement or if you have some reservations about it, call and let's talk about it. And so that's the topic today, and I'm going to be sharing a little more recap of, you know, some of what we did last week, but I also want to move on to sharing three principles that people can begin implementing in their lives right now today to begin making changes in their life, either to increase their financial situation or to create more happiness and peace in their life as well. So that's the message of today, is these three principles. And sometimes I refer to these as the science of imagination. So these three principles, I kind of titled that the science of imagination. So, interesting topic that we were talking about last week. And Ken, I think you shared a little bit of, I guess I asked last week, is what is your emotional response when I tell you that you could make purchases like buying a brand new car without spending a dime of your own money, or that I could teach you how to purchase $1 million real estate properties without spending a dime of your own money, and that the only thing that's holding people back from doing these things is the emotional baggage that they carry and their lack of faith? And so what I was suggesting is it's possible to do these things. I can teach you how to do these things. And the question is, when it really comes down to posing the question to you, Ken, are you ready to do these things? What sort of emotional response does that create in you? And that's the question I posed to you and also to our listeners last week. And for anybody listening today, that's the question again I'm posing, is when we talk about money and the fact that you can have it and it can be flowing freely through your life, what's your emotional response to that? Ken, feel free to share again, sure, you know, whatever emotional response you have to that sort of a topic.
Well, I know before talking with you and kind of doing some inner work on this, it was like, well, maybe some people can do that. Maybe they know something, or even if they know it, I don't know. I was just like not believing it. And as I, you know, went in and did a little bit more looking into some inner inner concepts within myself and did a little bit of healing work thanks to your book, it's like, okay, this is available. I mean, I am so excited because you offer on your website www.thesecretsinside.com. We're not just having one. We've got multiple secretsinside.com. That there's an opportunity to participate in a teleseminar that you are offering as basically a gift of love. We can sign up for it for free starting on January 3rd and get some of the insights, because in addition to the breaking through on concepts where we could limit ourselves, you're here to help us to actually get the pragmatic tools that we need to take advantage of those kind of special financial bonanzas.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, if people are listening right now and are interested to sign up for that seminar, you can do that all the way up until January 3rd. And on January 3rd is the first session of the series. So after we get started, I'm not going to let anybody join, but it's free if you want to sign up for it. And for 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about a lot more in-depth of what we're talking about today on the radio here, and that is, how do you create financial prosperity for your life and do it in a way such that you still have emotional peace and happiness in your life? In other words, you're not selling your soul for money, but you're figuring out how to create peace, how to create spirituality and happiness in your life, and to create all the wealth that you want in your life. And what I find is it's really all the same thing. When you use the same principles across your entire breadth of your life, you prosper in all areas of your life, not just in one area of your life. And that's a major message that I communicate to people, is that for the people who want to be peace and have peace and happiness in their life, you don't have to forfeit finances. You can apply the same principles in your life to create both of those things, you know, the happiness and the money. And so in the seminars that I'll be giving, I'm going to be spending the first couple of sessions talking about how do you create happiness, how do you think about happiness, and how do you think about the value of your life to know that you're valuable and worth having the finances that you want. And then we move right into how do you think about money, and then I move into actually giving some real-life examples about how you can begin creating wealth for your life. So it's a wonderful topic, and of course it's very popular because many people consider those the most two popular topics you can talk about, is tell me how to be happy and tell me how I can be rich.
Yeah.
And I'm with you all the way. So.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty excited about just the series coming up here that I'll be doing in January. But
sure.
But today, you know, today, yeah, Here's another wonderful chance to talk about this, and I will offer again for anybody listening right now that wants to call in, I'll send you an autographed copy of my book just for the reward of calling in today and creating a little bit of dialogue with us. So I'll create that incentive. And so I'm hoping somebody will call in and tell us a little bit, what are you feeling, what's your emotional response as we talk about these things? Can you be spiritual and have money too? And is that a conflict, or do those things go together in your mind? And when you think about me telling you that you can create wealth for your life, does that make you excited? Does it make you doubtful? Or does it make you scared? Or does it turn you off because you think that we shouldn't be pursuing wealth and money in this way? So give us a call and let us know what's your emotional reaction to that whole topic.
Right. And those numbers again, 877-876-5227 in the U.S., Canada, 888-815-9756, and outside of those areas, 530-876-3222. Now, one of the things that I've seen among a number of my friends, it was a dichotomy of people getting into the spiritual or the new thought or metaphysical movement. Some of this out of the baby boomers, the flower children of the 60s. You know, make peace, not war. We might be having a caller calling in.
Sounds like it.
Yes, I'm here.
And with whom are we speaking?
This is Gail from Tennessee.
Hello, Gail.
Hello. I love you guys' topic today.
Thank you. And
money.
Tell us, how
and
are you responding
mind.
To this?
Pardon?
How does what's Paul's been sharing respond? And go ahead and talk directly to Paul so you two can have a good dialogue.
Gail, okay. I'm glad you called in. Tell me what your emotional response is to this whole topic.
I think that a lot of us have been brainwashed to believe that, well, I know that the Christian religion has done a lot of this to a lot of people, that you're supposed to be poor and broke when you die, otherwise you can't get into the doors of heaven, which we all know that's a little farcy, but... Anyway, you cannot pursue spiritualism if you're constantly worried about where your next meal is coming from. And so you're constantly... what I see is when you have financial freedom, you also free your spirit. That's how I see it.
Oh, I agree with you. In fact, it's interesting. This morning I was putting together... I was working on some of the content for my training classes that I'm mm-hmm. going to be doing in January. And I was writing this morning about that very comment that you just mentioned right there is, you know, how can you have both? I mean, can you be religious? Can you follow some sort of spirituality? And can you still have money? And how do you do that? How do you do that and still feel like you're following your spirituality or your principles and your values?
Well, can I interject something here?
Absolutely.
First of all, being religious is not being spiritual.
That's correct.
I know a lot of people who would call themselves very spiritual because they sit and listen to someone else tell them how they should think every Saturday, Sunday, or whenever their day is to go do their ritual. And it doesn't make you any more spiritual. The spiritualism is something that only one can find and find Creator and your connection to God head by going within. You will not find it looking outside of self.
And I'm glad that you know that. It took me a lot of years before I realized what you're saying is true.
Me too. Yeah.
Because I grew up in a Christian environment.
Me too.
And I won't say anything's wrong with that.
No.
But
if that's where you're at.
It didn't help me to actually connect with my Creator in the way that I have now. And I had to move somewhat away from my religious roots and background
mm-hmm.
and connect with God on a very spiritual level and understand God to become something different than maybe what I thought God was.
Yeah.
So I use the word God in a very different context than I probably used to, as being the source of all things, my Creator. And when I learned to connect with that, I realized I could become free. I could become financially free. I could become free from different bondages in the world, like my job and things like that. And my abundance began to just take off and prosper in ways that I could not have imagined before that time.
Wow.
And I recognized that nothing is wrong with creating wealth. In fact, even the people that I considered spiritual that I grew up with in my background, reading about people in the Bible and things like this, Daniel, David, King David, those people were extremely wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
They were also considered very spiritual people at the time. So even in the context of people who are embracing their religions, it was always upheld a truth that very spiritual people were also very powerful financial people as well. And it's no different today. So the things we're talking about is, what are the principles? What are the principles that we use to connect with that power inside of us to create happiness and peace? And how do we use that same exact principle to create wealth in our life? Because I say it's really all the same thing. There's not a difference. So, Gail, so as I talk about this, obviously you're excited about this topic.
Oh, yeah.
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 So do you, you can answer this however you want, but do you wish you could create more wealth for your life, financial wealth?
Yes, it would free me up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that I can pursue much more spiritual avenues of things that I came here to do.
Yes, and I think most people are in that position of wanting more financial wealth than they have currently. And so the question we ask, and I'm not asking this directly to you, but the question that we all must answer for ourselves is, if we're at this spot in our lives right now and we wish we had more finances in our life than we do, the question is this: why don't we have it right now? Why isn't it already there? Because we've been wanting it for a long time, probably. And so why isn't it already here? And that's what we deal with in my seminar that I'm going to be going through, is taking much more time than we have today to deal with what is the baggage that we carry, what are the emotions that we developed as a young child growing up, the beliefs that we formed about ourselves, and the beliefs that we formed about money that actually stop us from having it. And when they stop us from having the wealth that we want, it also stops us from having the peace and happiness that we want as well. Which stops spiritual growth. Exactly. And that's why I say the money that you have in your life is a symptom that actually tells us something about your spirituality. And that's why I say, if you're emotionally and spiritually aligned exactly the way you should be, finances should be flowing through your life abundantly. And if it's not, it means something spiritually is not aligned as well as it could be.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to get to the root of. What are those emotional baggages that we carry with us? And most of the time, it's fear. It's fear that we don't think we're good enough and we don't think we're valued. And it's also fear that we don't believe we're going to be successful. And so when we carry those fears with us, they transpose all through our life in everything that we do, and it actually stops us from having the happiness and the wealth that we want.
Yeah, we become our own worst enemy.
Yeah.
We sabotage our own hopes and dreams.
That's what happens, exactly. So
I'm guilty. I'll raise my hand.
Yeah, well, thank you for being willing to come forward and openly on the air share your zeal and excitement for this topic.
Before we hang up, how do I get the book?
Ken, is there a way that...
Would you please share, Paul, an email address that Gail could send her contact information?
Why don't you... Gail, you can go onto my website, www.thesecretsinside.com.
The secret inside?
It's secrets, plural, with an S.
The secrets.
Yeah, the secrets, with an S at the end, thesecretsinside.com.
Okay.
And sign up for my newsletter, and there's a comment space there where you can say, add me to the class if you want to take it, or you can say, I was on the air, please send me a book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have email access?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So go ahead and shoot me an email.
I'm on your
site right now. I'll get that, and I will send you an autographed book. So when you send me that email...
I look forward to going through your classes with you, too.
Yeah, and then I can correspond with you and get your address and then send you the book.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Thank you very much for calling.
Have a great evening, gentlemen.
Thank you, Gail.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's very interesting how we lead our lives, And the things that we learn as a child cause us to form beliefs about ourselves, and we carry these beliefs with us into our adulthood. And the beliefs that we have about ourselves and about money many times is what stops us from actually having exactly what we want.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
So I mentioned that today I'm going to share three principles that we can begin turning our life around when we find ourselves in that situation.
Yes.
Because that's, how I think everybody knows, Gail mentioned it, she knows where she's at, I know where I'm at, and we know that we do this. We know that we have baggage in our life that stops us from having the success. We know that we limit ourselves by our thoughts. I think everybody admits that and understands that. The hard part is, what do we do to change it? How do we turn it around? Because when we're in the middle of tough situations that we deal with every day, when we're in the middle of relationship struggles, or when we're sitting down to write our bills and we have no money in the checkbook, we feel the emotional stresses. And the question is, when you're in the middle of that situation, how do you flip it around?
Exactly.
And without
taking heavy pharmaceuticals and signing up for thousands of dollars of psychiatric care, is there an alternative?
And we hear so much about the power of positive thinking, and the power of the laws of attraction, okay? And so I think people sort of embrace those concepts and say, okay, I know that I need to think positive. I know that I need to turn this around by turning around my thinking. But the question is, when you're in the middle of the emotional struggle, how do you flip an emotion around?
Exactly. That's one of the exciting things that we're looking forward, myself, our listeners, so many people. We're here, Paul. You've been through it. You can lead us.
I'm going to give you three principles today that can help you understand when you're in the middle of an emotional struggle, whether it's a relationship struggle, a financial struggle, or even a spiritual struggle. When you're in the middle of that emotional turmoil, how do you flip your emotion around to begin going on the right track? And the first, I'm going to give you three principles, and if you're listening right now, it'd be a good idea to take out a notepad, a piece of paper, and a pen or a pencil and write these three principles down, because what I'm sharing with you today is the first time I'm sharing it in this way. This is even a different take on it than I've outlined in my book. So write these three principles down. The first principle is to understand that there's an invisible goodness in all situations. That's
Ooh.
The first principle. This is the first principle to use to flip your emotions around, no matter what emotional struggle you're in. The first principle is understand that there is invisible goodness to all situations that you're in. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that.
Sure.
When we look at life, we categorize our situations into things that we think are good things, and we categorize some things as bad things. When I make a lot of money, I think that's a good thing. When I lose money, I think that's a bad thing. When my health is very good, I think that's a good thing. When I get sick, I think that's a bad thing. Okay, so we categorize our entire life, we categorize things as being good things and bad things. And so we have a number of things in our life that we think are bad things. Things like relationships, the lack of finances, maybe a job that you don't like, maybe you don't have enough money to pay the bills this month, okay? And we think those are bad things. Okay, what I'm suggesting by this first principle is to turn that around and to recognize that there's invisible goodness in all situations in your life. So those things that right now you think are a bad situation in your life, the truth is it's a good situation. You just don't see how it's good yet.
Ah, some lurking goodness there.
There's invisible goodness in the middle of a situation that you might right now think is a bad situation. Let me give you some very simple examples, okay?
Sure.
Because I began using this principle a long time ago, soon after I got married, and I still didn't have a lot of money. But our very first Christmas, my wife bought me a power saw.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, wow, you know, I mean, we didn't have much money, and so a power saw, this was an awesome Christmas gift from my wife. And I was down in our basement using it one day, not long after I got it, and I was cutting some boards, probably doing some chores on the house, and I wasn't paying attention to where the power cord was, and it got in the way of the blade, and I accidentally cut the power cord right in two.
Ooh.
So the saw didn't work. I mean, I cut the power right off.
Yeah.
And the saw was almost brand new, and I thought, oh, you know, I felt terrible because we didn't even have enough money to go buy a new saw, and I thought, my wife bought me this new saw, and now... And I could have thought a whole bunch of negative thoughts at that time. Things like, oh, I'm so stupid. And, you know, now what do I tell my wife? I just ruined my Christmas present. I don't have money to buy a new one. And I caught myself because even back then I understood these principles. And I thought, I have no idea why this situation just happened because this seems really stupid and it seems pointless. What is the purpose for something like this happening in my life? But I recognize this principle that there's invisible goodness in all situations. And I decided to allow my thoughts to take that path rather than going down the negative path and accusing myself of being stupid.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, I don't know why that just happened, but there's some good reason. I mean, I'm going to believe that all things happen for a good reason, and I'm going to trust that belief. And a short while later, I can't hardly explain how this happens, but these are the little miracles that sort of happen in our lives. I got a little intuitive feeling, kind of an intuition, kind of a gut feeling that told me to walk out behind my house and go look in the alley where we had this big dumpster garbage can that was shared by all the houses on the block. And I have no idea why I got this intuitive sort of feeling, but you can call it spirit was prompting me, or, you know, whatever you want to call that. And I thought, well, why in the world would I go look in the dumpster? I mean, what are the neighbors going to think, that I'm that desperate looking for food or what? But you know what? I trusted the instinct. And I walked out behind my house. I walked up to the big dumpster. It was one of these, like, 6-foot diameter dumpsters.
Oh, boy.
And because it was shared by everyone on the block. And I lift up the lid, having no idea what to expect, right? But
yes.
I just have this intuitive thought. And right there, the whole garbage can was full of stuff. And right there on the top was a 12-foot-long power cord.
Oh.
That wasn't connected to anything. It was just a power cord, just a 12-foot-long power cord that had the plug on one end and bare wires on the other end. Like, it was not connected to anything. And I thought, my gosh, I mean, that's what I need. I mean, I just cut mine off. And I had no idea how it got here. But I thought, I know that it's for me because this is what I need. And it's in the garbage. So obviously somebody threw it away. And at that moment, I realized that this whole thing was a bit of a lesson for me to understand that there is something bigger than me that I'm connected to, that there's a universal power in the universe that I can connect and tap into, and when I do, it provides information for me that I need. But it only works when I trust that it's there and that I believe it's there.
Yeah.
And whether, you know, whether I came from my original Christianity background, that works because God was leading me to what I needed, or whether it's more in line with, you know, my way of thinking now that says, you know, there's a universal consciousness that we're all a part of, that we all came out of this source. And the reason those things have continued to happen like that in my life is because when something happens that at first I think is a bad situation, I stop and I ask myself, there's something good in this situation about to happen, and I'm going to be open to it, to receiving it. And I'm going to trust that in all situations in my life, there's invisible goodness here waiting to be had.
Mm.
And so that one tiny little lesson, I mean, you know, I mean, it's a tiny thing because it's a power saw and it's a power cord, but it was teaching me a lesson that something that could appear bad became good to me now, because it built my faith and it helped teach me a lesson, one of these three principles that I've continued to use now for the next 17 years of my life, that has brought me undescribable wealth, peace, and happiness in many areas of my life, not just getting a power cord. So when you're sitting down and you're writing checks, when you're paying your bills and you sit down and you're at that point where you have no money in your checkbook, rather than feeling depressed and down and feeling that you're poor and out of money, have this thought and say, I don't quite know yet why, but there's invisible goodness in this situation. That's the very first step, okay? Mm. Just say, there's invisible goodness in this situation. I don't know what it is yet, but I know that there is. I just know that there is.
Ah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. That's the first step, okay?
Okay. Now, if someone, I'm just wondering, if someone was kind of been in a lot of pain and was maybe skeptical, could someone make a statement like, you know, I'm not convinced of this yet, but I'm curious. If there were some goodness in this for me, what might it be?
Well, that's step number two. That's exactly what you do. You're right on, Ken.
Oh, my gosh.
That's it. So step number one is to just say there's invisible goodness in this situation. Principle number two is, I call it imagine the possibilities.
Ooh.
Okay, and you just said the same thing. What was the word you said?
What
could it be, right?
Yeah,
I don't know what it is, but I'm curious, what could it be, okay? And so that's it. That's principle number two, is imagine the possibilities. Because what we're talking about here is, when you're emotionally down, how do you get out of that rut, right?
Yeah.
And so we're just talking about the steps. One, two, three. Just tell me some quick, simple, easy things that I can do that I could implement right now in the next 5 minutes to at least flip my emotions around, okay? And so it's imagine that there's goodness in this situation, and then if you don't know what it is, be curious and say, what are the imagine what could be possible.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
I love it.
You're what do I say, Ken? You're intuitive. You're reading my mind.
Oh my goodness. Well, this is exciting to have this. So here you are helping to remind us, like in step one, how many of us have heard this saying, every cloud has a silver lining.
Yes.
And now you're helping to go, hey, you know, this isn't just a nice few words to say. This is one of the keys to turning around your life when you're in struggle.
That's right. And it's at the very basic level of, you know, don't be philosophical about it. Just tell me, you know, what do I do? And that's what we're breaking it down into, these very simple steps of just telling yourself, you know, I'm hurting, I'm in pain, I don't know why this is happening to my life, but I'm going to believe that it's good and that something good is going to come of this. And then you're going to be curious. So the principle number two we said is imagine some possibilities. And what I mean by that is imagine some things that could happen in this situation that would make it be a good thing.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay, so
yeah.
I'll give you an example, because we always struggle. I mean, there's opportunities in our life every single day for us to get down emotionally, right? I mean, there's relationship struggles, there's traffic, there's money doesn't go the way we want. So every single day we're tempted to fall into negative thinking, either about ourselves or about our situation. And so it was about 8 or 10 weeks ago, I was struggling with the temptation to get down about something, okay? And I'll tell you exactly what it was, and I'll tell you how I used the second principle to imagine possibilities and how it changed the situation. I was in the middle of selling a bunch of stock in a business. So I was selling out of a business that I was in partnership with. And I was in partnership with almost 10 other people who I had been in business with for like 10 or 15 years. So they were friends of mine. They were good relationships that I had with these people. And I was selling out of the business, and we were determining what my value in the business would be, so I know what my payoff would be. And so the attorneys and the accountants were working on, you know, what the numbers were going to be. And it was roughly like $1 million sale. So it was like a big deal, a big financial deal. And there was some aspects to that sale that were a little bit unclear. And there was about $50,000 that, in my mind, was going to be debatable, that I thought was that I thought I was going to be, I'll use the word, kind of cheated out of getting, that I thought I should be owed.
Mm.
And
okay.
So I thought, well, there's this situation, and my partners aren't going to view this the same way that I think that it should be viewed, and I feel like I'm going to get cheated out of $50,000. And so that was my temptation, okay, that I started to feel negative, and I started to have these negative thoughts. And, I mean, I was about 90% sure that there was this problem, and I thought, wow, $50,000, I mean, that's a lot of money that I shouldn't just give up. I mean, and it's fairly due to me, and I can imagine there's going to be this conflict. I imagine there's going to be these arguments and fighting between us. And so I was stressing about this. Okay, does anybody else relate?
I can relate to that.
Can we stress about losing $50,000?
Oh, stress about a lot less than that.
Okay,
sure.
So we can stress about a whole lot less than that. And so this was a huge deal to me, $50,000, and it was stressful because I knew that I was going to have to fight this thing with people that I've been in business with for 10 years or 15 years, and that I had relationships with these people, and I didn't want to ruin the relationship, but I also didn't want to feel unfairly cheated. And so I was really stressing about it one evening, and for about an hour, I was going over in my mind the arguments and what they would say and what I would say, and I really got myself worked up and angry inside. Okay, so how do we use these principles that we're talking about today to flip around the emotion, okay? Because I was emotionally going down a bad path. I was getting angry. I was getting upset. My blood pressure was rising. My heart was pumping fast. I was just having a conversation with myself, remember?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you relate to this?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So here I am. I'm already having this argument in my head with these other people, and they don't even know what's happening yet, but in my mind, I'm having an argument with them, and I already know we're going to have this big fight, right? Mm-hmm. After about an hour of acting like that, I caught myself, and I recognized I was heading down the wrong path. And I said, no, I got to use these principles to flip my emotions around. Okay, and that's what we're talking about. How do you flip your emotions around when you're in the middle of that situation? So the first thing I said was, I'm going to believe that there's invisible goodness in this situation. I don't know how this is going to be good yet, but I'm going to believe that this is a good situation. And I just don't see how it's good yet, but it's really good.
Okay.
The second thing is, I began to imagine possibilities. Okay. How could this actually turn out to be a good situation?
Ah.
And this is what I said is, I said, you know what? This could turn out to be a good situation because I'm not going to fight it. I'm gonna stop resisting, because I could tell that right now emotionally I was digging in my heels and I was resisting this whole situation. I was ready to fight, right? I was ready to argue and fight for what I felt was right.
Yes.
And I said, if I continue down that path, I'm pretty sure we are gonna argue and fight. And I'm gonna ruin the relationships that I care about. And in the end, even if I get the money, I'm gonna feel terrible, because I just lost relationships with people that I care about. So I'm going to feel terrible. They're going to feel terrible. The relationships are going to be ruined. Maybe I got my money, but I'm going to feel terrible. And so I don't want that sort of a possibility to happen. So I imagined a different possibility. I said, you know what? Rather than fight about this, I'm not going to fight about it. If my partners disagree with me on this, I'm going to let it be what it is. I'm going to let the universe go its course, and I'm going to imagine a new possibility that the universe is going to make it up to me. Whether we call that God or our source or, you know, the energy in the universe, my source, where I come from, the infinite power that I'm a part of, is going to make it up to me. If I lose $50,000, I'm not going to worry one bit about it. I know that somehow next month or next year, it's going to come back to me. Even more than that. Okay. That's what I imagined, how this could be a good situation. Because I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to have faith, and I'm going to trust, and it's going to come back to me maybe 10 times. Okay? That's what I imagined.
Ah.
So I let it go. Now, immediately I felt better. Immediately after making that decision emotionally, I felt really good inside. No more stress, because I decided, even if it goes that way, it's okay with me. Do you see what I did? I made it where it's okay if it goes that way.
Wow.
Because
that's
great.
You pretended, I could lose this 50 grand, but how do I feel if I just pretend or imagine that somehow the creative source of the universe is going to
make it up,
going to bring to me not just 50, but I'm going to come out of this with at least 500,000.
So it's absolutely okay if it goes that way, because I'm actually going to come out ahead.
Yeah.
Do you see the imagined possibilities that I created for myself?
Wow.
I created a new possibility that almost makes it exciting to keep going that way.
Yeah, because how many people would consider it a good investment to invest $50,000 and
right.
get $500,000 back?
So I just created a win-win situation for myself, because no matter what way it goes now,
yeah.
I'm a winner. If I get my $50,000, I'm happy. If I don't, I'm even happier yet, because something better is coming. Well, let me tell you what happened. I mean, so immediately when you do that, and that takes 1 minute to do, because
yeah.
all you do is decide that there's invisible goodness here. And then step number two is imagine some possibilities of how this could be a good thing for you. And so when I did that, I was immediately had emotional relief. And then the rest of the day I was fine. The next 2 days, I was just happy. I didn't give it another thought. I was just totally comfortable with whatever was going to happen. Well, the company called me. They actually emailed me, and they sent me the whole financial statement of the money that was owed to me. And so, of course, my original worry was that it was going to leave out $50,000 that I thought was due to me. Well, guess what? The $50,000 was there.
Ah.
I mean, my whole worry was that the $50,000 wasn't going to be there. Right?
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that if I would have continued down the path of worrying and if I was willing to fight, I have a feeling that $50,000 wasn't going to be there.
Ah.
But because I changed my thinking, the situations changed. And all of a sudden, the $50,000 that I was afraid of losing, it's there. I'm not going to get cheated out of it. Now, you want to hear the miraculous part?
Well, it's sounding great already. Yeah, there's
okay.
more?
There's more.
Wow.
Okay, because that just makes it up to fair, right?
Yeah.
I looked at the summary at the bottom of the amount owed to me, and it was $400,000 more than I expected. I mean, because I was the CEO of the company. I know the financial situation of the company. I know how much money was owed to me when I sold out. And it's stating $400,000 more that I don't know where it came from. and obviously it was an error, right?
Uh-huh.
And so, but I was happy. I went through all the numbers. All the numbers were correct, and the $50,000 was there. I was happy. And then the summary, for some reason, had an extra $400,000 that I don't know why it's there. So I emailed back and I called the guy and I says, the numbers are great, I'm happy, everything's good, let's sign the papers, except in your summary, you've got an error, you've got an extra $400,000 that's, I don't know why that's even, you know, obviously you added wrong or something. And he says, no, we've gone through it meticulously with the accountants and the attorneys, that's how much we owe you. It's an extra $400,000 on top of what you thought. And I thought, wow, I mean, maybe it's not 10%, but my word, it's an extra $400,000 richer than when I woke up that morning.
Yeah, you could get, wow, two power saws.
Exactly. And so what I'm saying is these are the principles that I have consistently used. 17 years ago when I cut my power cord and 8 weeks ago when I got an extra $400,000, and what I'm saying is when you consistently practice these principles in your life, you can flip your emotions around and the circumstances in your life also begin flipping around so that positive things happen, because you're creating positive energy. You're saying there's invisible goodness and I'm going to imagine the possibilities. And when you imagine the possibilities, they start to come true. And they don't always come true like you think. You see, this situation actually didn't happen the way that I thought. I actually thought that I was going to give up the $50,000 and somehow it was going to come later. It didn't actually happen that way. It all came at once.
Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't always happen the way you think, but it always happens really good. So the third principle.
Yes.
Well, you guessed the second one. You got any intuitions on the third one?
Oh, I'm going to let you. Surprise us.
It's to trust the energy of your thoughts.
Ah.
Now, I could have said it's to trust God or to trust the universe or the universal energy. I could have said all those things and they would have been true too, but I didn't. I said to to trust the energy of your thoughts, because your thoughts have power.
Oh, absolutely. I was thinking of that phrase, self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
And when we practice this enough, then there we are. We're building that trust.
Yeah. And your thoughts have power because they influence the beliefs that you have about yourself and about what can happen. So they begin influencing the actions that you take. So on a very physical level, and very easy to understand, is when you change your thoughts begin to change how you act and the things you do. But on a spiritual level, it's almost as if the power of your thoughts has an energy that goes out into the universe and begins creating things to happen, like the power of prayer or meditation, right? The power of your thoughts influences situations even outside of your own body.
Mm, yeah.
And there's proof of this. I don't know if you're familiar with the Dr. Emoto, Japanese research researcher.
With the impressions that thoughts make on water?
Yes. And are you familiar with that? Have you heard about his experiments with water and his thoughts?
Yeah, I did have an opportunity to actually see one of his lectures and saw him some time before that in that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know?
Yes. And what he's saying, and what his work centers around is when he takes water and freezes it and it crystallizes and turns into snowflake patterns, and then he looks at those snowflake patterns under a microscope to determine, you know, the beauty of their shape and the crystalline structure and the colors and the clarity. And his experiments center around how does the crystallization of water change depending on the thoughts that he puts toward the water. In other words, if he thinks loving and kind thoughts, and he writes things like love and gratitude on the bottle of water, and then he freezes that, they crystallize into very beautiful crystalline structures.
Mm.
And then he writes, you know, I hate you, and has negative thoughts toward these waters, and freezes it, and looks at the crystalline structure, and it looks like a pile of brown mud, very ugly, no uniform shape. And so some of his experiments have demonstrated that there's actually influence on the power of his thoughts on what's happening to the water. And so it's becoming much more widely accepted now because of a lot of different documentation on the energy of your thought has power to change things outside of your own body, to influence things. And I like Wayne Dyer is a person I'm very interested in, a lot of things that he teaches, but he uses a quote that says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Oh, like that.
And that's really what we're doing here is, when you look at a situation in your life that at first looks extremely bleak and negative, to believe that there's invisible goodness, so you're starting to change the way you look at it. And then you imagine possibilities of how this could be a really good thing for your life. So you're, again, changing the way that you're looking at the situation of your life. And then you trust the energy of your thoughts. To trust that you are tapped into something maybe bigger than yourself, that you're tapped into the source of God or the source of the energy of the universe, and that your thoughts are going to initiate energy to begin changing things. So those are the three principles.
Wow.
And you can do those in a matter of a minute. You can shift your thinking from being very negative about a situation that you're in right now, and you can immediately transform your emotions and flip your emotions around. Because I get asked that question a lot when I talk about, you know, how to transform your life, how to begin creating wealth in your life, how to begin creating, I mean, I gave you some examples today of how I used this to begin creating wealth in my life.
Yeah, at different levels of your spiritual evolution.
Right.
I mean, so this principle is broad spectrum in its application.
Absolutely. It's the place that you start, and it's the place that you keep going all the way through.
Oh, Wow, Paul, this, what a blessing. I mean, the time blazes by, just soaking this in, and I know my listeners are being blessed by this, and reminding everyone, go visit www.thesecretsinside.com. I mean, if you're liking this, and I know you got to be, we've got three simple steps to turning around the stuck emotions in a minute. We now have an opportunity to go to that website of Paul's, sign up for a free seminar, and get details about how to move our lives ahead, both emotionally, spiritually, as well as practically, the nuts and bolts that you could pay a financial advisor a lot of money. Our guest today, Mr. Paul McCormick, is offering this as a gift, to go to his website, The Secrets, that's plural, thesecretsinside.com. Paul, I am just once again in a place of reverent gratitude for the wisdom that you're sharing and the generosity. Obviously, you have a deep devotion and commitment to helping lift others up as you have been lifted up. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Well, a pleasure beyond which we'll be keeping you posted, as I'll be hearing stories from different people on successes, and I will stay in touch with you and my beloved listeners. Paul, thank you once again for just participating in Advanced Living Radio with me, and I am excited to have you tune in next week for more fun and adventures. In the meantime, God bless you all, and goodbye for now.
Bye-bye.